Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard the voice. Every man for himself. Do what you have to do to get ahead. Go ahead and trample on the rights of other people if you think it will help your cause. Look out for yourself. Focus on yourself. It's your opinion that matters most. What needs do you have? How do you feel? What will benefit you? You don't owe anyone anything. Is that little baby growing in your womb getting in the way of the future you wanted for yourself? Kill it. Remember, you're the most important person in the room. Surely everyone, including God, must agree. You recognize that voice, don't you? Those little gems, those little pieces of advice. It's the voice of the devil urging you to focus on yourself and think highly of yourself and look out for number one, yourself. It's the voice of the world, too. And it's also the voice that rises up from your own sinful flesh. Look out for yourself. Be self-seeking. Now there is another voice out there, just as evil, equally diabolical, and seemingly the opposite of that one. It's the voice of the communist, the voice of the socialist, the voice of the collectivist, and ultimately also the voice of the devil and the world and the other side of your sinful flesh. Don't be selfish. You don't matter at all. You're just a cog in the wheel, a tiny, tiny part of a much greater society. Society is what matters, not you. Your duty is to not get in the way of society's progress, of society's health, of society's purpose. Your place in life is to make sure the collective thrives. It would be better for you to go away, crumple up, and die, rather than to jeopardize the well-being of others. So mask up and get vaccinated for the good of society, or else we'll find a way to get rid of you. Now, isn't it amazing that the devil, the world, and the flesh can speak two opposite, seemingly contradictory messages at the same time? Be self-seeking. You're the only one who matters, on the one hand, and don't be selfish. You don't matter at all, on the other hand. But both are wrong, and both are lies. Today's scripture lessons, the epistle, and especially our focus, the gospel today, dispel the devil's lies and reveal the truth about how God would have us view ourselves in relation to other people, and most importantly, how he would have us view ourselves in relation to God. Be neither self-seeking nor self-deprecating, but be humble, like Jesus. Jesus was attending a Sabbath day supper at the home of a Pharisee. The Pharisees as a group are a perfect example of that self-seeking mindset. Even the invitation to this dinner wasn't for Jesus' benefit, but for the purpose of watching him closely to trap him. A man was there who had dropsy, painful swelling of the legs. No one could help him except for Jesus. But the Pharisees had been condemning Jesus for a while now for the work of healing people on the Sabbath instead of resting as he was supposed to do. Well, there were some lawyers sitting right there, experts in the law of God. If anyone could determine what God's law said about that issue, it was them. So Jesus asked them, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Is healing a person, one of those works that God forbids on the Sabbath day, or not. And yet, none of them would give Jesus an answer. Why? Because they didn't actually care about God's law or about the man with dropsy. They were interested only in their own glory, seeking their own glory, their own popularity, their own honor, their own self-interest. And it wasn't in their interest to answer Jesus' question. Clearly, the Sabbath law was not intended to prevent doing good. But if they said that, it would legitimize Jesus and his whole teaching. And that wasn't in their self-interest because he was opposed to them in many ways. If they said that the Sabbath law did prevent healing and helping a man on the Sabbath day, they would reveal themselves as hypocrites because they would most certainly, in a heartbeat, pull out their own donkey or ox if it fell into a pit on the Sabbath day. They would do that work to help their own animal, and everyone knew it. But if they said that that kind of a work was illegitimate for a human being, everyone would see them for the cruel and hypocritical people they were, so it wasn't in their self-interest to appear that way. They remained silent. Well, Jesus didn't need their permission or their approval. He healed the man. He did it not in violation of the third commandment, but in accord with it. Because the prohibition against work on the Sabbath day was a prohibition not against every form of work, but against self-seeking work. Against work that was with the goal of providing for yourself, your job that you work to provide for yourself. It was against work that would hinder your attention to God's word and the ministry of it. Helping a brother in need, or for that matter, helping an animal in need on the Sabbath, was not against God's law. But what about the man with dropsy? Should he have realized that he didn't really matter? That he wasn't important? Should he have slinked away so as not to bother the Pharisees at their special dinner or bother Jesus with a Sabbath healing that might get Jesus in trouble with the people? No, God's law didn't require him to be self-deprecating either. The Lord wanted him to understand that he did matter, that he was important to God, and that the Pharisees should have cared about him too, instead of being so self-absorbed and self-seeking. So Jesus kindly healed him and sent him on his way. Then we come to the second part of the gospel, where Jesus observed more of this self-seeking behavior on the part of the guests, the Pharisees and their friends. As people arrived at the dinner, everyone made a beeline for the seat of honor, the highest seat available. Why? Because they were steeped in this self-seeking, self-absorbed mindset. Each one exalted himself, lifted himself up in his own eyes. In other words, each one thought he was the most important person in the room, the most deserving person in the room. So each one grabbed the most important seat for himself, with no thought to the other guests, with no thought to the host. So Jesus tells this parable about choosing places at a wedding banquet, and it's obvious from his words and from the very fact that it's called a parable that he isn't really concerned about where people sit at a feast, but with how they view themselves in relation to God and their neighbor. When you're invited by someone to a wedding, don't sit in the place of honor. Otherwise, if someone more honorable than you has been invited by him, the one who invited you both may come and say to you, "Give this man your place." Then, with shame, you will proceed to take the last place. But When you are invited, go and sit down in the last place, so that when the one who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in front of all those who are sitting at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." What was the problem Jesus was addressing? As you focus on yourself and evaluate yourself, you tend to see the good and to ignore the bad. Oh, you may identify the bad well enough in other people, but when you look at yourself, you tend to see, "I'm a good person. I'm a decent person. I know I try hard. I do my best. Surely I'm worthy of respect, honor, good treatment by others, and recognition by God." You rank yourself pretty high in God's kingdom and estimation, pretty high in God's church. You, it's all about you. And while you're focused on you, you forget that God is the one who created you. God is the one who commands you. God is the one who judges you. And that's dangerous, because I guarantee you, God is not nearly as impressed with you as you are. And that goes for everyone who is at all impressed with him or herself. It's much, much safer, believe it or not, to let God be the judge, to rank yourself in last place in your heart, as the chief of sinners, as the Apostle Paul even did with himself. It's much wiser to seek God's approval than to assume you already have it because of how decent and honorable a person you are. Seek God's approval, not in yourself, but in Christ. Look outside of yourself, away from yourself, to Christ, who ranks number one in God's estimation. Don't seek to honor yourself. Seek instead to be honored by God for the sake of Christ alone, and you will be exalted. You will be lifted up. You will be forgiven and accepted and even honored by God when you seek all those things in Christ and not in yourself. But notice, there is nothing self-deprecating about choosing the last place. Jesus isn't commanding people to think of themselves as nothing, as worthless, as people who don't matter, as people who only exist for society's sake, so that other people can be honored more than you. No, what does Jesus promise to the one who takes the lowest place? That the one who invited you, that God himself will honor you, will raise you up. That's a far cry from the socialist claim that you exist to serve the collective. No, you exist to be honored by God. You exist to be glorified in God's kingdom. You exist to be loved by God and chosen by God and accepted by God. It's just that the way to that honor and glory and acceptance isn't by seeking your own honor, or by looking out for yourself first, or by ignoring the needs of your neighbor, or by buying into the lie that you matter less to God than other people, or that your life is expendable. It's by humbling yourself before God and men, which means intentionally looking away from yourself toward the needs of your neighbor and toward the judgment of God. You don't have to look out for yourself first or seek your own good first, because God is already looking out for it for you and will raise you up in due time without any effort on your part. So be neither self-seeking nor self-deprecating, but humble. As Paul said in today's epistle, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Acknowledge your sins and your unworthiness before God, but also acknowledge His great love for you, which frees you to care about your neighbor while you wait for God to lift you up in glory. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.